Acts chapter 2 to start things off. You're going to be turning in your Bible some tonight. Big surprise there. But Acts 2. Of course, the setting here is Pentecost. And Peter's preaching. Folks have been talking in tongues, and he's getting ready to get up and explain to Israel what's going on. Notice in verse 22, let me read a few verses for you here. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It says in verse 25, and pay attention here, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, and also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." So that's quoting David from verse 25 down through verse 28. Then Peter picks back up, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath sent forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart," this is the nation of Israel, "and said unto Peter, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And so Peter answers him with a Campbellite verse, "Repent and be baptized." Let's bow our heads here and have a word of prayer. Father, kind of a long reading there, but I wanted folks to see something. I pray that you'll bless some thoughts that have come out of this here tonight. Pray it might be a refreshing to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Pentecost setting, Peter's explaining to Israel what's going on. By the time you get down to verse 37 or so, Israel is convicted, convinced, and converted. And they go ahead and get in the water. So there were a whole bunch of folks added to the church that day. But what I was wanting you to see here, and it's what caught my eye, in verse 25, Peter cites David. David speaketh concerning him, and this is from Psalm 16. He said, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face." Now David said, "I foresaw him." Okay, in verse 30, "Therefore being a prophet," David is a prophet, so he foresaw. If there's any question what that meant, verse 31, he's seeing this before. So that's what foreseeing means. It means seeing this before. Now what I'm getting at here is that is the heart for the authenticity of the Bible. That God writes and foresees, and it's different than any other religious book anywhere. The Quran does not prophesy. And the Bhagavad Gita's don't prophesy. The Bible prophesies, because God does not really live in time. He's not restricted by time anyway. However, you want to phrase that. Lord said this in Isaiah 42. Please don't try to beat me there. I'm already there. Psalm 42, let me just read you a verse. Verse 9. What?
Isaiah, you said Psalm.
I'm going to read it to you so you don't have to look it up. Verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Lord says, I tell you what's going to happen before they come to pass. Now that's called prophesying. That's called foreseeing. And that's part of what makes the Bible, that is what makes the Bible really different. God tells or shows the prophets by visions or dreams. The prophets tell the people. The people are supposed to act on that. They're supposed to believe it. And out of all that comes an awful lot of great truth. Here is Abraham. He's always mentioned for his faith. And Lord says, hey, Abraham, you're 100 years old, right? Yep. And Sarah's 90, right? Yep. And your bodies are both dead. Sarah's womb is barren. Sarah's womb is dead. Your body is now dead. So how about we have some babies? He said, look up in the sky and count the stars if you can. And that's how many your seed's going to be. He said, you believe me? And Abraham, 100-year-old man, he said, yep. Pretty amazing. You know? But that's foreseeing. It's prophesying. Here is almost as remarkable. Here is Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, and he gets word that Mary is with child, and he goes, oh, that wasn't me. See, I got to get rid of her. And so he's ready to put her away, and the Lord steps in and says, hey, Joseph, don't put her away because that was me. He said, that was you? He said, yeah. He said, you're telling me that my girlfriend, my fiance, is with child, but there wasn't a man involved. Is that right? And the Lord says, yep, that's right. He said, there's only one prophecy in the Bible that somebody would be that way. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, right? And here's Joseph. He says, you're telling me that me and Mary are the only couple that will ever live, that scripture's written for, and just the two of us are it. And never before in the history of the world has there been a child brought forth without a man involved. And you're telling me this was you, not a man, the Holy Spirit of God. You're telling me that that's me and Mary. He said, that's right. You believe me? He says, yep. That's an amazing thing, right? And that's why your Bible's different than anything else. And I'll be real quick about this. Some of you folks have seen this many times, I suppose. But for those that are relatively new and maybe have never seen it, take, for instance, you know, prophecies from the time of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And there's about 48 of them or so. And if you take just 8 of them, now this is probability and statistics, okay? You're gonna write down 8 prophecies, just 8 of the 48, 8 prophecies that Jesus Christ would fulfill in rising from the dead, dying and rising from the dead. And when you do that and you figure out the probabilities, there is one chance. Now this is for 8 prophecies. There is one chance in 10 to the 17th power that might happen in one person's life, that one guy would fulfill those 8 prophecies. Now, how big is one chance in 10 to the 17th power? Well, don't play the lottery on those odds. Because if you took 10 to the 17th power silver dollars, dumped them all in Texas, out to the borders, you would have silver dollars piled up 2 feet deep all over Texas. And then you would paint one red and parachute in and hope that you landed somewhere where you could just pick up that red coin. That's one chance in 10 to the 17th power. Now, if 16 prophecies, if you run the probabilities for 16 prophecies, this number jumps to 1 in 10 to the 45th power. And, you know, you can't even really conceive that other than to say that take those same silver dollars and you're going to then dump all those silver dollars out in space, and that's going to be a globe of silver dollars that stretches 30 times from the sun to the earth. That's a big ball. You painted one of those silver dollars red, and you're going to parachute in and hope you land where you can just reach down and pick up the red silver dollar. That's one chance in 10 to the 17th power. If you take all 48 prophecies, which I must press came to pass in one man's life, that probability is one chance in 10 to the 157th power. That number doesn't have a name. According to what I read, there are not that many electrons in the universe. That all came to pass in one guy's life, Jesus Christ. My point, folks, with that is just to show that this foretelling, this foreseeing, the prophesying is what gives the true authenticity to the Bible. That's how we know it's true. Now, what caught my attention in reading this was verse 25. Again, David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw, David said. Peter confirms that David was a prophet, verse 30. And if there's any question about what foreseeing means, he's seeing this before, verse 31. He's seeing this before, foreseeing. All right? So the Old Testament prophets foresaw. They prophesied and things came to pass, at least a lot of things. There are still some that will come to pass more at the second advent of Christ and so on. But Old Testament prophets prophesied. New Testament prophets prophesied. The apostles prophesied. They foresaw. So I'm not going to tell you the title of the message just yet. We're going to talk for a minute about foreseeing. So foreseeing has to do with prophecy. Foreseeing has to do with the future. Sometimes to these prophets, God spoke. Sometimes He granted them dreams. Sometimes He granted them visions. Sometimes He sent angels. But Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Daniel in the New Testament, particularly John, all those guys were foretold. They foresaw things that would come to pass. And those prophets believed God and they spoke to the people, and the people were supposed to believe upon it and act upon it. All right? And so today, we don't have prophets prophesying new scripture. We kind of covered that in Sunday school this morning. There is no new inspired scripture. There's no new inspired prophecies. The canon of scripture is closed. The new revelation is closed. As I said this morning, He has nothing new to say to you. He has a lot to show you still, but there's nothing new to say. Now, with that, again, we're talking about foreseeing. And so I was thumbing around and looking at stuff. And I know that the canon of Scripture has closed. And so, you know, we don't have new prophets popping up foreseeing new inspired prophecies. So let me take you to something that you can relate to, that, and this is really what this is all about tonight. Look in Galatians chapter 3. The word foresee or foresaw doesn't show up very many times in the Bible at all. But this is very indicative here of one place that it does. Galatians chapter 3, and go down to verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, and notice verse 8. We'll start with verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham, and the Scripture. Now look, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing. Now, if the Scripture foresees, then the Scripture is alive. Okay, that is a anthropomorphic statement where it's granting to the Scriptures the life to be able to foresee. In the same way, if you'll just look nearby, we can run off with this for a while too, but I'm not going to do that. Look down in verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Well, again, that's the Scripture as if it were alive, concluding something. So the Scripture in just this passage foresees and it concludes. Now, so the Scripture foresees too. The prophecies that are foreseen and prophesied and come to pass, of course, that is the authenticity of the Bible. Okay, but now since the canon is closed, you know, you have to admit it'd be pretty cool to be able to foresee on a regular basis. I mean, you might be able to foresee not running into a traffic jam before you get there. You might be able to do something with, you know, at a gambling casino or something like that too, but you wouldn't want to do that, I'm sure. But here's what I wanted to show you. This is what I got digging around about, because, again, the word foresee doesn't show up very often. Take your Bibles back to Proverbs. Take your Bibles back to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. And notice verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. Now notice, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now that's a prudent man foreseeing. Okay, David foresaw, the prophets foresaw, the scripture foresaw. Here you have a prudent man foresees. Look down in Proverbs chapter 27, a matching verse, 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So again, it's the prudent man that foresees. Not a prophet doesn't foresee, a prudent man now foresees. Now think about that for just a minute. The man doesn't dream. He doesn't have visions. He doesn't hear voices. He doesn't see angels. He isn't stonied after this message comes to him. He's a prudent man, and a prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. All right? Now, since we know that's what we have to do, think about the fact that there is no new prophecy, and so the Lord's not going to give you some inspired prophetic future insight. He may show you something out of the Bible, but he's not going to just give it to you like you were Isaiah or something, right? Now let me put this together, because you saw a prudent man. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is where it kind of came together for me. Ephesians chapter 1. And notice that, of course, it's talking about salvation in Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Okay, wherein, okay, within the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom, but wait, and prudence. Now, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Okay, we don't have new revelation. We don't get to foresee fresh new prophecy. We have to get it from the Bible. So here he's telling you that as far as me and you foreseeing is concerned, it's in the book. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, way out there in eternity, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. See what he's doing there? He's foretelling all that. He's showing you, you know all that. You can't see it from here. You've never seen a vision of it. He didn't tell you it to you personally in your ear. He didn't inspire it in you. He showed it to you through the Bible. And so here is David, and he foresees. The Lord gives him a new insight and a new prophecy. And he foresees, and so he prophesies. And that winds up being a prophecy of Jesus Christ. You don't get new prophecy. You have an old prophecy, an old book of prophecy that you open up, and a prudent man gets in it and digs around, and he foresees. He foresees the future. Now, we walk by faith and not by sight. But we as prophets study the book and we foresee the future. Isn't that cool? Let me just follow up just for a minute or two. We lean on those scriptures. Look back in Proverbs again with me. And I'm just going to run a few verses here, then we'll move on to something else. But look in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. And this prudent man has some other attributes. 14:18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. If you are in your Bible and you're a Bible-believing Christian, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you rightly divide and are diligent about it, then you're going to know some things. You're going to come to knowledge of things. You're going to foresee. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 and go down to verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, I won't chase it all down, but what you find consistently in the Bible is that nobody's instructed in anything unless they are first reproved. Okay? And so somebody that hates reproof is not going to be instructed. And so in verse 5 it says, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That's how you're going to learn the Bible. The Bible's going to say, you've been thinking wrong about this. Let me show you something. Look, if you will, in chapter 16, verse 21. Proverbs 16:21. Okay, the wise in heart, somebody that's got wisdom, shall be called prudent. That's why the book of Proverbs is written, to give you wisdom, right? Now all this is adding up to the fact that a prudent man, there are no prophets in the sense of brand new prophecies, you foreseeing things just on your own where God just shows you like he showed Elijah something. There is none of that. But you have a Bible, and through that Bible you foresee. Faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the Bible, you can foresee. Now, there's things you can't see. You can't see what the next lotto numbers are. Thank the Lord. Right? But there's so much you can foresee. I have one more verse for you. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, go down to verse 15. Notice, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So we're called to grow what? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first thing we looked at there, he said David foresaw. David was a prophet. David seeing this before. So we've looked at foresight, and that is the future. That's prophecy. Now, I have to convince you, I want to convince you of something else. So you have foresight, you have hindsight, and then you have present day. What you see here, right? You have reality at the moment. You have the present time. Let me show you something here. It's not hard for us to digest what we just studied because, we know that there's no way that I could know the future. I couldn't know about the rapture unless I studied my Bible. I couldn't know about the tribulation or the millennium or Christ's reign or the great white throne judgment or eternity and the burning up of the elements, melting with fervent heat and new heavens and new earth. I couldn't know about that unless I had a Bible. Now, there's this. So we also have to deal with hindsight, and we also have to deal with what we're living right now. So you can call it sight, but the present moment, reality now. We have a tendency to underestimate how important the Bible is for that. For instance, now I'm just giving you examples here on this one. There won't be too awful many, but Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of people in this world are not like us. They don't care about the future. They just think that one day all the bunny rabbits are going to be dead along with all the precious bugs that, and environmentally we're going to melt down and I suppose go back into a big nuclear ball or something like that. Okay, so they think that. and they don't acknowledge your foresight that God gave you in the book, we have the foresight because we walk by faith and not by sight, and we know by faith what the future is because the Bible gives us our faith. The Bible informs us, right? Now, what we have a tendency to estimate is what we know today. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and just notice something here. Now, everybody here is going to amen when I read the passage and talk about it because we believe that. Notice in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now I know that. I know, and probably you know, that through faith, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If there's, you know, there's framing to this building, above and around us. There's framing in this world, and the framing that holds up the structure of the universe is the Word of God. This universe, this world, is framed by the Word of God. Now, we say we know that. Did you stop and think about the fact that they don't know that? They don't think like that at all. They don't think like we think. They don't know anything about the pillars of the earth or the foundations of the earth or the fact that, you know, the Lord established the heavens by His discretion. And they just rolled off His fingertips. See, I know that. That is a present reality for me. I look up in the sky to see the stars. I say, God is in control of all that. And none of them know it. None of them acknowledge it. What I'm saying is, even what people perceive as reality is not true. You're dependent on the Word of God to even know not just what will be, foresight, but what is and how it works. You're dependent on the Word of God to understand things as they are now. Let me give you another example. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, since we're nearby. Now, he's just gone through the hall of faith. We'll cut back to that for just a second in a minute. But he's gone through the hall of faith. So he's gone through and named off all these faithful men that by faith served God. And so he says in verse 12, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that was set before us. So he says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, he's not saying that all of the heavenly hosts are sitting around, you know, watching us in the arena. It's not necessarily that. The idea is that here you have these witnesses highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11. And a lot of them did marvelous things. And since they witness that our God is faithful, and that if they're faithful to them, He'll be faithful to them. So therefore, because we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore go forth. But you understand that we're building a lot of what we do on the fact that, man, Abraham was faithful, and look what God did for him. And I don't know about you, but I think about Noah pretty often. Just going to the same job for 75 years. Plugging away just him and three boys. I mean, nobody to help and figuring out how to put this ark together and all that kind of stuff. I mean, 75 years. That's more than most of our lifetimes are going to be. He worked for that long on one project. And, you know, and not one convert for all the time that he preached. I think about him fairly often. I mean, he's part of kind of what keeps me going. He's part of my reality. Because I'm compassed by his witness. He witnesses that God is true. God told him that he was going to send rain. He sent rain. He flooded the whole world. And Noah sure was glad that he did what God said. And so I build from that. You understand what I'm saying? Look at another passage. You don't have to look at it. You know it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you haven't been there already, someday you're going to wind up at a funeral home or a hospital, and there's going to be some stuff that you do not understand. And one of the passages that the Lord's going to bring to your mind, or should, is, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, how do you know that? You know it by faith. I mean, that describes somebody's reality right now, where they're going through something hard enough that they're having to claim that verse. I know that all things work together for good. See, the four, it's important to have the Bible so you can foresee. But where are you if you don't have a Bible to live in the present? You're afloat. You're a believer in evolution. You think there are 57 genders. Right? See, we laugh. 57 genders. I knew better than that when I was on the farm. But I tell you, the way I really know it is the Bible. He made them man and a woman. Right? I'm saying that, look, the Bible informs our present. If you are not in the Bible and living the Bible in the present, there are things you simply don't know. Let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can probably quote this one too. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. And it says we know it. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know it. I mean, as long as your faith is strong and you're in the book and all those things, you know that if you drove out into traffic today and got killed on Memorial Day weekend, that you would show up in heaven. You know it. Okay? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, not in the future, now. See, we're talking, David foresaw, and so the Bible informs our foresight. But it also points us to what reality really is. The folks that are living in a world where there is no heaven and there is no hell, where there are 57 genders, it's a made-up world. They don't have the slightest clue. But you know. You know. There's a couple other things I wouldn't mind showing you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, since we're nearby. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know the verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I mean, I got saved when I was 10. New creature. And the best part of it's a promise. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. See, it informs my present reality. You know, most people, most Christians, have no clue that what salvation's about is, by my count, again, 33 things that when you believe in Christ, God does for you that are irreversible and inviolable. So you have a bunch of Christians running around thinking they can lose their salvation. And I know I can't. I know I can't because what he said he did, and I trust him. So we've dealt with foresight, okay? And we've dealt with, I guess, just sight here, just present reality. And I hope you can see that, you know, yeah, the Lord wants to show you the future, and you're dependent upon Him to show you that, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I hope you see that you don't even know what reality is if you don't have a Bible, if you don't believe a Bible. If you're letting them tear down that Bible, then you're allowing them to cut the tree down that you're sitting in. So we've dealt with foresight, we've dealt with sight, or just the present. And now we can talk for a minute about hindsight. When you think about hindsight, you think about history, right? The past. The past is supposed to be set in stone. And surely I understand my past. I mean, after all, I was there, right? I mean, one thing about the future is that I've never been there. And it's one thing about the present is, okay, I can be blind to that. But I mean, I experienced my past. And so I shouldn't have a problem with the past, should I? Only wait, because you do. Let me take you to John chapter 14 real fast. No, let's start with John 16. John 16. What I'm showing you is that you are dependent on the Bible for the past, the present, and the future. If you get cocky and think that you don't need any help from the Holy Spirit about your past, that you just need His help for, say, foresight in the future, for explaining how, you know, the rapture and the things that we can't foresee, but you're okay in the present because you're here and you're handling it. You're handling it. And the past is something you've been, you were there, you experienced it, you have a good memory, presumably. And so, you know, you probably don't have to learn anything about that. That's not true. You need the Bible and the Holy Spirit's work to show you the past, present, and future. Look in John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Christ is getting ready to leave. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Okay, He's saying that He's going to guide and lead you to all truth. Is that what it said? Okay, no problem. That sounds like something I need to know in the future. Sounds like maybe something I need to know now. No, it's not that simple. Look in John chapter 14, down in verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Let me ask you a question. You have siblings, right? Whenever I get together with all of my two other siblings, you know what I learned? We grew up in different worlds. They remember stuff that's like, what? That happened to Uncle so-and-so? What? It's just weird. And sometimes, you know, I think my memory's pretty good, and then, you know, I solidly remember it. And Marcy goes, that's not how that happened. See, my point is, you need the Bible for foresight. And you need the Bible so that you know what is really true now. But you also need the Bible to be able to go back and remember right. He said the Holy Spirit's going to show up. He's going to cause your memory to be right. Again, how did He phrase that in verse 26? Bring all things to your remembrance. Let me show you something. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Again, these are just examples. And I just got thinking about that foresight thing. And I said, well, you know, the Bible gives us foresight. And then we live in the present. And then we also have a past that we have to figure out the right way to deal with and to remember correctly. And you know what I learned? I learned that I need the Bible for a lot more than foresight. I need it for present sight. And I need it for hindsight. Matthew chapter 16. Go on down to verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? He's trying to teach them something. They were supposed to have learned something from something in the past when He fed 5,000, right? And they skipped over it, and they think He's talking about the fact that they forgot to bring lunch. But He says, You need to re-remember. Don't you remember? See, if you're not careful, you don't even remember right. You forget how bad the bad old days were. You forget how deep the darkness was. And you forget how shameful the sins were that you were in. And if your guard is down on those things, then you're more likely to go back. Let me show you another thing. Look in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Well, I'm just showing you that the Bible's not just a book that foretells the future, that you have great need so that you will know what's going to happen. The Bible is a book that shows you what is going on now in the present. And if you don't have that concept, then you're wrong. And that you need the Bible to be able to track your past, to get the right lessons from the past, so you remember the right things, because your memory is bad. Look in Luke 22. Luke is here somewhere, I know it is. Luke chapter 22. Go on down to verse 60. Peter is at the fire, denying Jesus Christ three times. Verse 60, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately when he yet spake, the cock crew. And it sounds like he didn't pick it up immediately. But the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now the cock crew, and Pete's going, didn't pay any attention to it. Then the Lord turns and looks at him, and apparently that was the kick. Pow! He goes, "Oh man." Right? His memory had to be jogged. You know, another place like that, look in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Peter has led Cornelius and his band to Christ in chapter 10. Now he's got to come back and explain it to the brethren, his Jewish brethren, right? And they weren't all very happy about this whole deal with the Gentiles getting in as well. And so Peter is explaining to them what happened. And you'll notice down in Acts chapter 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, he's telling his Jewish friends, the apostles, about what happened, how it happened. "As I began to speak," that is speaking to Cornelius and preaching to them, "the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.'" See, he's sitting there preaching, and Cornelius and his band start dropping on their knees, some of them talking in tongues, and they got saved. But it didn't dawn on him till then that then the Lord recalled to his memory that the Lord's going to baptize him with the Holy Ghost. And he got it then. But he didn't get it without the Holy Spirit doing that. You understand what I'm saying? See, you'll remember things if you're not careful and not remember them right. You need the Lord to jog your memory. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. This is attested to over and over again. Ephesians chapter 2. You don't just need the Bible to point you in the right direction, to lead you to what you should be able to understand for the future. It doesn't just address what's going on in the present, but it also tells you how to address that which is in the past too. Ephesians chapter 2, and notice verse 11. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." You know, it's easy to forget. There's a lot of folks that have forgotten. Again, they forget how dark the darkness was. They forget how bad a shape they were in. They forget how miserable they were, right? That stuff, you need to be in the Bible so you can keep your past in perspective, as well as know how reality really works in the present, as well as knowing what's going to happen in the future. You need all three. You have to have all three. look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm almost done. 2 Peter chapter 1. And he's just gotten done in verse 5 and 6 and 7 talking about adding to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And we're talking about foresight and hindsight and living in the present, being able to see. Cannot see afar off and hath forgotten. See, that hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Now, the Holy Spirit is supposed to come and call things to your memory of something in the past, something that Jesus perhaps said, something that you perhaps read before. How many times, let me ask you this, how many times have you gone to the Bible and just not finding the answer that you needed? You know, maybe you're reading in one spot and the answer is somewhere else, and the Lord recalls something to your mind and you're able to go find that verse. And it's what ministers to you. See, the Word of God is alive. In faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you have to have that Word of God to foresee the future. But you need it for the present. And you need it to put in proper perspective your past as well. Now notice how many times he mentions this in this passage. Wherefore, verse 12, I will not be negligent, but to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Over and over again, he says, I got to keep you guys in remembrance of these things. Look down in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Remembrance, 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 because you're likely to forget. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to direct your mind to proper remembrance. You need faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit. But you need it to not only foresee, but to clearly see the present, to understand the present, but also to recall in hindsight the past properly. And if you don't have, if you're not in your Bible for all the three of those things, you have a kind of a warped existence. Maybe you're over-focused on here and now. Maybe you're over-focused on the future. Maybe you're over-focused on the past. No, you need all three. Amen? Amen. That's what I got for you tonight. Let's pray. Father,